Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to a couple of people involved with raising awareness about Metrolink's proposal to build a traction power substation in a portion of Margaret Green Park in the west end of the city. Despite conventional wisdom that there's no news in August, this has gotten a lot of attention, and even in the middle of a pandemic, over 100 people went to Margaret Green Park last week to confront city councillors, city staff, Metrolink's reps, and even the MPP about the plan. To say it was intense is an understatement, but the events in the West End capture a microcosm of bigger concerns about public engagement and development running roughshod over neighborhood concerns. So let's hear from the neighborhood. Fighting City Hall and a Crown Corporation is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. On July 22nd, Metrolinx, the Crown Corporation that owns and operates GO Transit, posted a virtual town hall outlining their plan to electrify the Kitchener GO Train line, which passes through Guelph, connecting Georgetown to Kitchener. This is the second town hall that Metrolinx has done, though the first one was in person last fall. This second round of engagement did have a note that did not go unnoticed by Parkland advocates in Guelph. One slide identified the placement in Margaret Green Park of something called a traction power substation, which Metrolinx describes as a building the size of a shipping container that converts commercial alternating current into the direct current that is used by light rail vehicles. The precise location is a trail that runs from Margaret Green Park behind a bunch of residential homes on Furman Drive and out onto Furman near the corner of Imperial Road South. Not only is Margaret Green Park itself heavily used, but so is that trail. But to Metrolinx, it was identified as merely unoccupied land. This would not stand. Anger from the neighborhood snowballed into a full-blown insurgency, and it became so loud that both Ward 4 councillors, the mayor of Guelph city staff, the MPP, and representative from Metrolinx all took part in an open-air town hall in Margaret Green Park last Thursday, and one thing was absolutely clear. Assurances that this is just in the planning stages, and nothing's being decided, and that we still deeply desire your feedback was not being taken as an acceptable answer. For years, people have been feeling more and more cut out of the process, and it seems that the potential construction of a TPS in Margaret Green Park, even getting this far, is a straw that broke the camel's back. Can a neighborhood coalition stand against what they're concerned is a fait accompli for this much-loved area park? That's one of the questions we'll put to this week's guest, Krenda King and Ashley Lewis, who both live in the neighborhoods around Margaret Green Park, and they have found themselves with a newfound sense of political activism to protect this area that means so much to them and their families. For the first time in months, we will head outside of Guelph Politico headquarters for a podcast and go to the proverbial scene of the crime, Margaret Green Park, where we will ask King and Lewis about their concerns for the park, their thoughts about the process so far, and whether or not they trust City Hall, Metrolinx, and other authorities to respect their point of view when it comes to the fate for the placement of the TPS, and indeed, the fate of their beloved neighborhood park. So let's go to the park. I caught up with Krenda King and Ashley Lewis at Margaret Green Park earlier this week.
So I'm Krenda King, certified human resources professional, community advocate, and also a member on the board of the West Village Community Development Neighborhood Group.
I'm Ashley Lewis. I live in the neighborhood for the last almost 10 years. I'm a mother of three, and my children go to St. Peter's Catholic School. I recently completed my training in social service work, and my children are big parts of the community and all the activities that they provide.
This sounds weird, but would you say the two of you are kind of representative of the people who live in this area? That, you know, people with young families, working professionals, balancing home, work, COVID, all that stuff.
Definitely, for sure.
I would say so, for sure. Yeah.
And just so for point of reference, we are recording in Margaret Green Park. Ashley, your kids go to school just up and around the corner.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, three of them I have. So they've been there since kindergarten. This has been their home to them since birth. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that we be active members of the community.
Of course. So let's start with the obvious stuff, the basic stuff. When did the two of you first hear about what was, potentially going on with the park and Metrolinx plan to perhaps move forward with putting a TPS station in the trail behind us?
I first heard about it about a week ago, maybe a week and a couple days, and then it took me a couple days to get on the phone with Ashley and ask if she had known anything about it. So,
which I had known nothing about, I'll to be honest. I had heard a little bit of buzz of Margaret Green Park and that, but Brenda actually updated me and filled me in about it, educated me on where we're standing right now currently, and what the possible outcomes could be, or just what the whole situation.
Have you ever taken part in anything like this before, you know, kind of community action? I mean, you're both busy professionals with young kids. Again, you know, that doesn't leave a lot of time for community activism.
Right. Not really, per se, in a specific cause, but I do volunteer, like I said, on the board for the neighborhood group, so I am pretty active in the community that way.
I keep myself active through the schools. My children have been there since kindergarten, like I said, so I stay pretty current, pretty active within the school community also.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about first hearing about the plans over here, building that TPS station along the trail. I know that that's a pretty heavily trafficked trail, so you know, maybe you could talk about your own experiences, like your kids using the park, using the trail here. You know, what I mean, how does that tap into your concerns? And I guess how do you guys use the park? How do you appreciate the park?
Well, I think we were both pretty shocked to learn that this site was even on the table as far as a Metrolink development. You know, upon further research, not too surprised, because it looks like Metrolink has taken other underprivileged communities and kind of done the same thing, where they feel that maybe there's no voice or no value to the land. But I think we're here to be those voices and to let you know that this does have value. It's not vacant land. That trail actually serves for transportation for a lot of kids, as far as summer jobs for them to get over across the Hanlon. Families accessing public services at the West End Rec Center, getting internet access to the library, because as you might or might not know, this area also is home to a lot of underprivileged neighborhoods. There's high-rise buildings. This community itself is one of the prioritized communities in Guelph, where we have the highest count of single parent households. We have the highest count of kids living in poverty. So to cut off transportation and access to some of those services, like kids go to the West End Rec Center to play basketball, to swim. There's grocery stores. Like I said, people access this trail to be able to get to jobs. We just want to make sure that it is known that this land is valuable and that our voices need to be heard, and that this trail is very important to this community.
And actually, it could almost be argued that your kids go to St. Peter's.
Right.
I've seen the kids, you know, this could almost be considered part of the area
playground
of their school, right?
That's correct.
It's, you know, where they run, where they play.
And just as an individual who's been born and raised in Guelph, I myself have taken a lot of time in this park growing up. The neighboring schools, I went to the elementary school down the road, and we all congregated here as for assemblies, for gym class, for play date, for all kinds of things. Not only that, I've taken my kids through the path as our leisurely walks since they were babies, so it means a lot to us. And I definitely know the neighboring schools, such as St. Peter's, where my children go, they have a lot of celebrations here in the park. It's you know, extra gym class, maybe they take advantage of using the park here. So it would be, and yes, like Corinda had mentioned, it's a route for many, many people to travel through to get to other places. That's probably considered a safer route also.
We're surrounded by kids on bikes right now. So, you know,
using
the point.
The park, right?
Yeah, that, you know, this is a well-traveled area.
And they're on the trail, right? On their bikes. You also have to think about all of the new Canadians also that fall into low-income brackets. There's high-rise buildings all here. So these kids, this is their backyard.
Yeah.
This is where they get a chance to get out, get some fresh air, ride their bikes in a safe spot. You know, if you want to go up to Dairy Queen, you don't have to cross the Hanlon.
Yeah.
So, you know, these trails are really important to this neighborhood.
Yeah. I want to talk about the politics about this too, but you know, let's start with the town hall that was over yonder by the ball time last week. Brenda, I know you said you were there. Ashley, were you there?
I was not present.
Okay. But you definitely heard of it.
I did.
I think that was the day that I had called Ashley. Yes. I was like, we're all going over to
yes.
the park.
And I, of course, wasn't available, but she caught me up to speed.
Great.
And,
So, Krenda, why don't we get your perspective? Because, I mean, that was an unusual town hall. First of all, it was outside. It was a park hall almost.
Right.
But it brought out the mayor. It brought out our city councilors for the ward here. It brought out Metrolinx representatives. It brought out Mike Schreiner, the MPP.
Yep.
It was a full court press, wasn't it? It, you know, as someone who's in this area, did you feel the issue and your concerns were being treated with an appropriate level of, I guess, urgency and demand on the part of the reps?
I mean, everybody was there, but I think the onus was on us to make our voice heard and to let them know how important this space is to us. It didn't seem as though there was any value put on the land or put on the trail. Mm. Somebody brought up the point that this is deemed vacant. So, I mean, there wasn't really any value put onto this space. And so it was really important for the showing of people in the neighborhood to let all of these individuals know that there is value, it's not vacant. And we just want to make sure that all of those representatives, city councilors, members of parliament, the mayor himself, are aware and continue to be aware of how important this space is to us. And I just hope that showing let them know that, you know, we are wanting to speak up and we do have a voice and we want our voice to be heard and we want to be seen and we want everybody to know that this space does have value.
Did you feel satisfied by the answers?
Personally, no. There weren't any answers, right? Those members of parliament, that, you know, everybody who did kind of show up said that they are kind of on the same page as us, but there wasn't a lot of action behind their words. So I think right now we just want to see them propose the vacant land, you know, at Paisley and Silver Creek. I know there seemed to be a rush to put in development plans on that land so that it can be taken off the table. So we want a call to action for them to open up the possibility of this project being moved over to the vacant lands, the actual vacant lands at Paisley and Silver Creek.
You're talking about the what's commonly called the Lafarge area.
That's right.
Yeah. Ashley, you weren't at the town hall, but, you know, having seen what you've seen in the media, the research you've done, are you feeling like the people in authority are listening to the residents here?
And
I guess where what would you like to hear from the mayor, the councilors, whoever, about, you know, if they're really getting the message here about this project? Like, what would be a good sign to you?
Well, just acknowledgement that we are being heard, first of all, showing that there are possible options that they're open to investigating and looking at, such as Krenda mentioned, the Lafarge area there. But I guess them just riding along with us, hearing us out, and showing that there's an interest there or possibility for change.
Hmm. Do you think, I mean, predicting the future is tricky, obviously, but, you know, if we were to come back here next year and catch up on whatever, we stand on this very spot in 2021 at this day, this time, do you think that there's bulldozers over there? Or do you think that there's maybe signs that, you know, Metrolinx is moving ahead? What's your level of pessimism, optimism that this is going to go a way you want or a way you don't want?
I'm optimistic.
Hopeful,
optimistic.
Sure.
Our member of parliament sits in the Green Party.
Right.
Like, why would we want to put this power station where there's kids playing, where there's a school close by? Set up the development, take away the development that you have on the table, and allow for the project to be moved into a safer spot that's not taking away from green space. It's not surrounded by homes, there's not kids playing. Mm-hmm. So I'm optimistic that everybody will take that into consideration and understand that it makes the most sense to have it on vacant lands where you're not interfering with, like I said, youth going to summer jobs, kids accessing recreation services, people accessing the internet at a library to check jobs. So it just makes the most sense to not interfere with that, especially in a marginalized community, and put it somewhere where the land is actually vacant.
Mm-hmm. I wonder... You've brought this up a couple of times. We're in an area where there are new Canadians, people of limited means. Internet is a luxury for a lot of people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is a virtual... The presentation that Metrolinx has put up, it's a virtual town hall. It's on the internet. We did have this in-person engagement. It was on a Thursday afternoon. Understandable that, you know, sometimes a lot of people aren't available on a Thursday afternoon, even in the midst of a pandemic. I wonder your thoughts on, I mean, first of all, is the engagement satisfactory from your perspective? And second of all, to address those concerns, what kind of engagement should there be?
Well, they mentioned at that town hall that they had attempted or tried to make sure that everybody was educated on the plans and, you know, put out information. There wasn't a lot of engagement at previous town halls, from what I understand, for the information they provided. And the point that you just made, internet is a luxury. So, I mean, virtual town hall, not everybody here has the luxury of internet connection. Not everybody here has the luxury of English being their first language, even. This is a target zone for a lot of refugees and new Canadians. So those people... where English is not their first language may not have access to be aware and be updated. Not to mention that this is a community where I believe they think that there wasn't a voice and there wasn't anybody going to stand up and advocate for these lands like they did Jane and Finch. So I think that they thought this was going to be an easy sell and that the community was just going to be a pushover on the issue, and we're here to say that's not the case.
I wonder if you feel represented by our city councilors here in Ward 4. I mean, they're the kind of the, not that we want to use kind of terms of war, but they are kind of the first line of defense, right, when it comes to things that impact the neighborhood, that impact this area. And I don't know how the two of you feel, but it seemed like even they were a bit out of the loop on this. And I'm not sure whose fault that is, and I don't want to say whose fault it is one way or the other, but, you know, it does seem that the ward councillors here weren't too much further ahead than regular residents like yourselves.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting, pretty surprising to find out that, you know, they were just coming in the loop themselves. I don't know what to say about that. I don't know who dropped the ball. I don't know if the ball was dropped. I don't know if the attempt was made for them to be brought in on communications. It's hard to believe that a project of this magnitude and nobody anywhere knows about it. But, you know, that's what they said, that they were just brought in on it, and, you know, that they were standing there with the rest of the neighborhood, you know, as surprised as the rest of us were. So I don't know. I don't have much of a comment on that. It's hard to say. Like, it seems a little shocking. It seems a little unbelievable that a whole city council would know nothing about a project this size going into a green space, affecting the trails. Like, one of Guelph's mandates is to have green space and to have trails and to make it accessible for everybody. So a project like this that's going to impact a lot of those core values that we have as a city, and people saying that they don't know anything about it. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a comment on that, but I guess that is what it is.
Sure.
I personally just think it's important at this point then that they show their stance and that they are on board with the whole movement.
Let's consider this too. Metrolinx is a provincial crown corporation. They answer to the province. From what it sounds like, they're going to be allowed to do what they want to do, whether or not the community stands in front of that or not. At least from the, I remember Terry Grossman, the city engineer, you know, from his point of view, that's kind of what he's thinking too. You know, they can exert some kind of influence. It may not be enough, but, you know, what What do you think the city's responsibility here is? And are you worried that even if you have the city of Guelph people, you know, staff and your city councilors on side, is that enough to override what is a provincial agency with its own, guidelines and answerable to itself? And, you know, it's not a matter of beating City Hall. It's a matter of beating Queen's Park.
And I don't know. Like, I'm familiar with what a Crown Corporation is. I've worked for a Crown Corporation, so I do have some understanding. I don't want the city councilors and the mayor and the engineer to use that as a scapegoat, because there are some things that they can do. They can take the development plans off the table for the Lafarge land and open that up so that we can propose that as a new site. That makes more sense. Unless they present some idea why that land, you know, engineering wise or otherwise, makes more sense than over here, or doesn't make as much sense, or, you know, if there's some argument to be had, then fine. But what the city can do is take development plans off the table, open up that site, and propose that site to Metrolinx as the preferred site for the city.
Can you keep up the pressure, do you think?
I think that's going to be the most important part, is to keep up the pressure, because I think that everybody's just hoping for this to go away and for people to roll over and it to become a non-issue in a week or two.
And how do you, you know, we're kind of at...
I think there's a call to action for anybody listening, for anybody in the neighborhood, for anybody in the city. you know, keep little guys like this guy on his bike in mind on the bike trail. Put pressure on the city, put pressure on your city councilors, put pressure on your MP, put pressure on Metrolinx. It's a call to action for anybody, you know, in a stone's throw radius, to put pressure on anybody that will listen, anybody that has an influence, anybody that has a say, and just continue to do so, to just put pressure on all of these, like I say, Metrolinx, members of parliament, the mayor, city councilors, and continue to do so.
Let me ask you this then. Activism as sort of a way of life sort of begins with issues in one's own backyard. Do the two of you have a taste for it now? It's a little soon in the process maybe, but you know, I think this whole affair kind of shows that you have to kind of be on guard. You have to be on the lookout for when stuff kind of just happens in your own area that you never know when it's going to come. But, you know, do you guys feel more politically active because of this issue? And is that something you're interested in pursuing?
I think being people of color, that our voice always has to be relevant and always has to be heard. And when issues like this come up, it is important for our voice to be heard. And like you say, once you realize that you have a voice, it can become a little addictive, and you want to use that, especially for issues that make sense in your own backyard.
Right. I want to kind of end with something a little bit positive. And I kind of also want to contextualize this too in terms of like the meaning of this park to people in the area. This is a huge piece of land. Parks like this aren't kind of a regular thing in the city, even like not just the West End, but you know, to have a big amenity like this where you got your tennis courts, you got your playground, even just big wide open space where you can run and yell and ride your electric bikes. Could I have you both, you know, talk about whether that's just something general about your experience in the park, or something in particular that, you know, when you think about good times in the park, in terms of what Margaret Green Park means to the two of you?
Well, I mean, you can drive by this park on any given day and see kids riding their bikes, see people, you know, out in the field, see people on picnics. Like I say, this is the backyard to a lot of people who are in high rises. The neighborhood group, the West Village neighborhood group, we host our fall fair here. We advocated for power supply here, for electricity, so that we can put on things like Nights in the Park, movies, you know, at dusk. What else can I really say? Like, you can just drive past and see how it affects so many people. And then, like I say, when you look, go back to the neighborhood and the people who it's serving in the neighborhood, it just means so much. So, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense why we would want to put it here, but that this park does mean so much, and the open green space. And I'll go back to the fact that the city of Guelph has it in our mandate to have these green spaces, to have these trails. So I don't understand why we wouldn't be fighting for something like this, and why the fight wouldn't be a little bit louder and include a few more people. It just seemed like it wanted to be very quiet and want everybody to roll over, and this happened without anybody having a whisper about it. And again, we're here to say that's not the case, and we are willing to fight for this space.
That's right, and I think part of that includes educating the community further about what is actually taking place, what they are trying to do. And because this park is means a lot to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. People
and
use
for so many different reasons.
Right. Especially with the whole pandemic, everybody's been locked indoors and that. Once the parks were open and everybody was allowed to distance a bit more, you see this park pretty full with just, you know, kids running, people, families, everybody being able to just, you know, jump outside of their homes through this tough time.
And enjoy the space.
And enjoy the space, for sure.
Well, I don't know if we enjoyed the space today, but I think we used it as partially as intended as a gathering place, and I'm glad I had the two of you here to talk out the issue. So,
yes.
Kenda and Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
And once again, that was Krenda King and Ashley Lewis, two members of the Margaret Green Park neighborhood who are concerned about the fate of the park. Metrolinx has extended that deadline for the virtual town hall and feedback from it until August the 28th, and you can keep up with the fight to protect Margaret Green Park at the Save Our Green Space Margaret Green Park Facebook page, and you can find both those links in the show notes page for this episode of the podcast. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics at Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, you can go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, and you can download it from the host Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. When you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to Guelph Politico on Facebook at facebook.com/politicoguelph, and if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.